test. Oh, I don't know how this is going to work with the microphone there, picking it up. We'll just have to use the one online. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I may have to extend since we're already behind time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Yah, to acknowledge you and to acknowledge all that you do. We thank you, Yah, that you are a gracious God. We thank you that you are patient with us, and we thank you that you are patient with our ministry. And we just acknowledge all that you do, Yah. We just ask that you give us an understanding of your word on tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right. Just give me one second here. So the title of the message tonight is Keep Your Heart. And tonight we're going to start out in Proverbs chapter 4. And start at verse 10. Just a second. All right. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 says, Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And so one of the things I want to deal with right quick is let's look at the interlinear. It says, and receive my sayings, right? So receive. Okay, can y'all hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
So I don't know what happened. Why I cut out, but okay. Give me just one second. Okay, let me start back. All right, I'll just start from the top. So this is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. So receive means to... It means to accept the sayings, to carry them away, to reserve them, to seize them, basically to take hold of them, take away. So it's not enough just to hear the sayings. You got to seize them and take hold of them. Again, chapter verse 10. Too far. It's hard to control this remotely. All right. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in a way of wisdom, and I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. All right. So when I was looking at this, straightened seemed to be odd. Your steps shall not be straightened. When we look at the definition of straightened here, straightened means to not be narrow, to not be distressed, to not be vexed. So when it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have led thee in the right paths, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. So that means they won't be vexed, they won't be distressed, they won't be narrow. It means you're free to go about and do what needs to be done. And it says, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. So this is what happens when we take hold of the Lord's sayings. It says, take fast hold of instruction. And the interesting thing about instruction is, I find a lot of these words are interesting when you start looking at the definition of what the actual words is so that we can get understanding. So it says, take fast hold of instruction. But instruction means warning, reproof, chastisement, discipline, rebuke. So what's interesting is when it comes to dealing with Yah, Yah gives us instruction. The scripture says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, right? So when the Lord chasten you and give you instruction, it says to take fast hold of that instruction. Basically, when he gives you correction, he does so, obviously, because he loves you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, right? So it says, when you get that instruction, take fast hold of it. And let her not go. Don't let the instruction go. Keep the instruction, for the instruction is thy life. So these things are the things that are important when it comes to the kingdom. I'm driving to a point here. All right, let's keep going. Again, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. And there was a couple of things I wanted to do here. So a lot of times when we think, I'll do a couple of these words, right? So enter not into the path of the wicked, right? So the path meaning the manner of the wicked. The path of the wicked, the troop of the wicked, basically the grouping of the wicked, right? So I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but we live in a world right now that is unfortunately full of a lot of evil people. It is what it is. And we, as the children of light, have to operate in that space in spite of all that's going on, right? So with that being said, sometimes it can be a challenge when it seems like all of the world is going a direction, but it's the direction that we're not called to go. So a person can look and say, well, you know, a lot of people are headed in this direction, or a lot of people are doing X, or a lot of people are doing this, and it may be socially acceptable, but that doesn't mean that it represents the kingdom of our God or the cause that we serve, right? So, but it may be commonplace, even in the vein of, you know, kind of what we dealt with in the last lesson about vengeance, okay? The concept of vengeance, right? A lot of people out there operate and they feel like vengeance is okay, but we come to understand from a kingdom perspective, vengeance is the Lord. So that way we can't operate in, because it's not something that represents our kingdom. And so with that being said, there are a lot of principles out there. There are a lot of thoughts out there. There are a lot of doctrines out there that a lot of people have taken hold of, but those doctrines don't represent represent the kingdom of our Lord. So when it says, let me go back, enter not in the path of the wicked. So understand that there are a lot of paths out there that are paths that are laid out by the wicked. And it says, go not in the way of evil men. So when we look up what evil means, evil says bad, evil, affliction, harm, heavy, misery, hurt, hurtful. So as the Lord was dealing with me on this, you got to understand that there are a lot of doctrines out there, and there are people who have been hurt, and as a result of their hurt, they spew doctrines. They give ideologies based on their hurt, based on what's happened to them, based on them being harmed, and based on their affliction. And as a result, they give paths out there and they lead men in a direction based on how they feel. Not necessarily based on right, but what's happened to them, right? So, oh, girl, you don't want to do that. Because blah, 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 blah. And instead of speaking from a perspective of the kingdom of our God, they're speaking from the perspective of their hurt. And when you operate in that space, it leads people away from the kingdom, right? So anytime we're taking in information from all sources, we have to be mindful of the source, because everybody's intentions are not pure. Everybody's intentions are not righteous. Everybody's intentions do not represent the kingdom of our God, right? They may be entertaining. They may be, they may tickle the ears, but just because those doctrines are out there, we have to be aware that not everything that's coming across, especially in this day and age, is something that we should be mindful of, right? So to go back, I'm going to stay in this mode. It says, again, enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. So what you got to understand, when you start to understand that these certain things, some things we can't entertain, right? Like, if you start to understand that this person's perspective is in this way, the scripture is saying here, some things you just have to avoid it. You have to pass it by, turn from it, pass away. It says, for they sleep not, except that they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fail, right? So some people, through their experience, it's like the saying says, misery loves company. Sometimes people are miserable, and they, instead of wanting a desired outcome for you, they want you to end up in the same path that they're in, right? So they do things, and it says, if a person with this mindset, they says, verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall, right? So some people are out there looking for your downfall. And so, again, it's verse 15, it says clearly avoid this. If you see it, if you start to resonate with it or you start to understand it, just avoid it. It says verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness. Meaning, wickedness is just something that they desire. It just is what it is. Unfortunately, we are living in a generation where we're seeing more and more a subset of people whose bread is wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. It's like both of those things are satiating for them. Wickedness and violence are like what they eat and drink. Verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light. So that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So what we got to understand is there is a righteous path. And as you walk that righteous path, that path is illuminated more and more until you reach that final day, until you reach that perfect day, right? So on the path of righteousness, as you continue down that path, the righteous way will illuminate itself more and more. But there's something that we have to do in order to achieve this. Verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble, right? So when a person is, I want to start back at the premise of where we started at the very beginning, where it says, incline thy ear unto my sayings, right? So when we incline our ear unto the Lord's sayings, when we take hold of those things, when we do those things, it illuminates our path. And when we do those things, that path gets brighter and brighter as we continue to turn. Getting some feedback here. Okay. Is that better? As we continue to incline our ear to his sayings, I'm not quite sure. Let me see. Okay. Chime in, Rev, and let me know what you see. I don't see what you're seeing. Oh, I think I get what he's saying. Okay.
What I'm saying is, at the bottom, normally when I pull up the Bible, all you can see is the Bible, instead of all the other things that's underneath the Bible.
Okay, hold on. Like that? Okay.
So y'all can't see the stuff at the bottom.
I can see is the Bible and the taskbar, but
okay, it's our computer. It is my okay. Bad. I'm sorry.
No problem. All right. Again, so as we head toward the path of what Yah has for us, again, reading in verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. It says, but the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble upon, right? So that's a literal definition, but it's an explanation of more of a metaphorical thing. So when people don't incline their ear unto the sayings of the Lord, when they don't take a hold of what God is saying, when they don't take a hold of correction, it's like walking in the dark. It is the correction and the instruction of the Lord that lights up our path for our life, right? So so many things happen in life, so many things we come across and that we don't necessarily understand, right? And it is the counsel of the Lord, it is the instruction of the Lord that lights up our path. And as we continue to follow his instruction, it lights it up more and more. But for people who refuse to seek the Lord, for people that refuse to hear the Lord, it says it's like what they're doing is walking in darkness, and they don't even know what they're stumbling upon. Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. So attend means to prick up the ears, to hearken, to give heed, incline, mark, or guard. So when it says to attend to my words, it's something that we have to do with diligence. It's not just a happenstance or a incidental thing, right? So one of the things the Lord was showing me was, you know, in the modern world that we live in right now, we have all kinds of things to entertain our time. We have all kinds of things to distract us. We have all kinds of things to be consumed with, right? And most of those things, although some of them may just be, you know, things that you have to go through in life, a lot of those things, specifically these days, are designed to take us off of the path of righteousness. Like, they are designed to distract us from the path of righteousness. They are designed to keep us from the will of God. They are designed to keep us from not attending to his words, right? They're designed to entertain us. They're designed to be what we want to hear, what we want to spend time with, right? So what the Lord was showing me was there are only a few things that will strengthen us as it pertains to his kingdom. And one of the primary things as it pertains to that is incline our ear unto his sayings, right? My son, attend to my word. So attending to the word of the Lord, whether that be the written word of the Lord, what is the logos that is written in scripture, or whether it be whatever the Lord has been dealing with you on, whatever the Lord has chasing you on, whatever the Lord has instructed you on, right? Attending to those things are the avenues by which we grow in the kingdom of God, right? So in a world that's full of all kinds of things that are designed to distract us, there is two things that will help strengthen us in the kingdom. One being attending to the word of the Lord, right? That is vital. It is something that we have to do on a continuous basis. Because and just think about it from a logical perspective. If we live in a world where we understand that a lot of the things in this world are designed by the enemy to trap and to snare and to draw us away. So by default, right, like if I don't put in any effort, if I don't think about anything, you just take a regular person and they don't have any understanding, the trappings of the world will send them on a path that is contrary to the kingdom of Yah, that is contrary to the will of Yah. And so if that's the case, then for the believer to maintain what God has for him, to grow in what God has for them, there has to be something that we're doing that sets us apart from what everybody else is doing. And that thing is attending to the words of the Lord, Again, verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. And so...
I'll let you make a comment.
Go ahead.
Verse 20, when you mentioned attend, when I see the word attend, and what comes to mind is not only to pay attention to the instructions, but to be so focused on those instructions to the point to where nothing else is able to deter my way of thinking from what I'm attending to. The focus is so much there that nothing else or no other words matter. So when we attend to the word of Yah, what we are basically saying is any other words, or as you mentioned about people are taking a lot of paths, and you're correct, there are a lot of paths out there where people are taking. But what we do is any other path that is shown to us, because we are so attentive, we're so focused on the path that Yah has laid out for us, that no other word should detour us or cause us to think any other way.
Amen. Amen. I definitely agree. And we have to understand that concept, because there are so many things out there that are specifically designed to distract us, whatever that thing is. The scripture says, for every man is drawn away of his own lust, right? So whatever category that may be your potential weakness, there is a message out there that's in that vein. There's a path out there that's in that vein. But the key is, like what Pastor said, we have to attend to his words. It's something that it can't be, I'll think about it. Maybe I'll get into my word. So-and-so, this came up. Okay, that does happen, but it's something that we're going to have to be diligent on, because the only thing that's going to keep us grounded in the kingdom is attending to the word. It's the only thing that's going to keep us grounded. Not going to work, not watching TV, not going on vacation, not, you know, all these other things. Attending to the word of the Lord is the thing that's going to keep us grounded, that's going to keep us on the path that gets lighter and lighter, or that shines brighter and brighter. Again, verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Meaning, when it says let them not depart, that means there's some consistency on your part. It can't be, this came up. Okay, something came up, but you need to spend some time in the word and let it not depart from your eyes. You got to keep it before you, because the world tries to keep all of these other things before you, whether that be politics, whether that be, you know, whatever it is. It's trying to keep all of those things before your eyes. Anything that's not representing the kingdom of our God, those are the things that it's going to try to keep before your eyes. Anything that can cause you to get off focus, it's going to try to keep that before your eyes. And so for us, we have to be diligent and make sure that we keep the word of the Lord before our eyes. Keep it in the midst of thine heart, right? So we understand, based on what we've dealt with in the past, that the heart is not that pumps the blood. The heart is the mind. So whatever is going on in your mind, these things are what we, let me go ahead and bring up that scripture real quick. Go ahead.
Before you move on, deal with the eyes, deal with the heart.
Okay. Okay. So, when it says, let them not depart from thine eyes. So what we have to understand is there are gates to our subconscious, right? To our conscious and our subconscious mind, right? So in order for something to get into your heart, it has to enter through a gate. So we have an eye gate, and the enemy is aware of these things, right? So because he knows we have an eye gate, and that eye gate is the gate to our heart, to what we think about. So let's use it this way. So clearly, the enemy doesn't want us thinking about Scripture. He doesn't want us thinking about God. He doesn't want us.
We can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know where it dropped off, but I'll just kind of recap. So the eyes are like the gateway to us, to our heart, right? So the heart is the mind. It's the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, what we think about, right? And so in order to get to the heart, there has to be a gateway in order for things to get there, right? And the eye gate is one of those gateways, right? So whatever we see, whatever we are consuming visually, those things that we see are the gateway to our heart and what we think and what we think about. So it's the enemy's desire that we never think about Scripture, that we never think about God's word, that we never think about God, that we never think about the kingdom of our God. So as a result, he's trying to tantalize us with other things to get in our eye gate. And as we consume other things that are not Scripture, inevitably, if you consume those things long enough, those things get into our heart. So if I'm not consistently putting the word before my eye gate, then that means I'm putting something else before my eye gate. And based on what we've dealt with before, there are very few things that we can put before our eye gate that build us up in the kingdom. But there are a lot of things that we can put before our eye gate that will take us away from the kingdom. And so we have to be really mindful. We have to be really diligent. It's not something that we can take lightly if we want to grow our strength in the Lord and if we want to grow our strength in his kingdom. So it says, let them not depart from our eyes, meaning in order to grow from a kingdom perspective, we have to continually keep his word before our eyes. We have to continually do that, and it will continue to build us. But if we're lax, if we are not persistent, it's easy. And I know I'm guilty. So I'm not saying this from a perspective of not understanding or not being there. It's very easy to let other things distract you. It's very easy to let other things enter your eye gate and consume you. It's a very easy thing to do. But for the days that are coming ahead and what we're going to be called to, in order to be what all that Yah has called us to be, we have to be diligent. We have to be vigilant. We have to be persistent. We have to be consistent and keeping the word of the Lord before our eyes. And then as we do that, keep them in the midst of thine heart. It says, why? Because for they are life unto those that find them, right? So understand, just doing these things, it provides us life. It says there are a life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. And so what Yah showed me, even in that regard, is when it talks about health to all their flesh, there is a underlying principle when we start to understand Yah's word, when we start to understand how the kingdom of Yah works, right? Like, even if in this instance, even if and understand when we're talking about this, this doesn't mean that you won't necessarily get sick. But the key to this is when it says health to all their flesh, see, Yah's word is the trump card for everything, Right. So he may allow sickness to come upon you, right? But when you hold fast to his word, there are certain things in there that he promised that you can hold to. And even in the midst of what you're going through, his word is still true. So as we attend to his words, when we understand those things that it's saying, it's very vital to help shape our understanding of the reality that we live in, and understand that we're not just limited the same way that other people are limited. There are things that when we grow more and more and we attend to the word more and more, there are things that we can walk in that other people just can't. They just can't do it. They're walking in darkness. And so there are things, understand, obviously, we're always at the mercy of Yah. But this thing, this understanding is something that will set us apart from everybody else that's operating in the world. We're not limited by what they're limited by. And as we attend more and more to his word, it is those things that become more real to us than whatever reality we may be experiencing, because it's his word part that trumps all of that. So, you have something to say, Rhea?
Yeah, I want to make a comment in reference to verse 21.
Okay.
And the way that I'm going to come at this is by using an example that you said as far as the heart is concerned.
Okay.
When you mentioned the heart, what did you say the heart was?
It's the mind, whether mind. Conscious or subconscious, yeah.
Correct. Now, when you look at the eyes, it is not the senses.
Mm.
So in looking at the eyes now, how do we see spiritually?
Mm.
Perception.
Okay.
So when you have the world who uses their senses, they'll look at the scripture and not comprehend.
Right.
They will look at the scripture and they'll say, well, charge to my head and not to my heart. Well, they want it the same.
Mm-hmm.
But when we see it through the spiritual, let it not depart from thine eyes, yeah, we have to read it, we have to study it, and we have to use the senses. But once the senses are used, then we have to walk in the perception of that from that point on. And our heart adjusts to that perception. The mind, the mental state, adjusts to the way that things are perceived and what we've been instructed on by the word. So both of these words are both spiritual words.
Okay.
None of them are carnal. Neither one of them are carnal. And so when it says, let it depart not from thine eyes, what you going to do when they take the Bible away?
Mm.
We then have to have perception of what Yah has spoken to us through his word, through our studying, our reading, however you want to put it. If they take the words away, can you still perceive the will of Yah? That is keeping it or letting it not depart from your eyes. If I can't quote the scripture, it's still a perception there, because I've been dealing with learning the things of Yah for years, to the point to where now it is in my heart, my mental disposition. So if something comes across that doesn't line up with what I know has developed my mind from this perception, then I have to reject it.
Amen. Amen. And I feel like that's why it's also vital in this time frame that we do keep these things before our eyes, that we do keep these perceptions, because the day may come where we don't have the freedom that we have right now. And so it's vital, while we still have the ability, while we still have the freedom to take in as much of Yah's word as we can, to get as much of his word into our heart as we can, because it's going to be life to us in a literal sense, in a figurative sense, but potentially even in a literal sense in the days that's coming ahead. We're going to have to know how to judge one way or the other. We're going to have to know how to understand. And it's just like what Pastor is saying, is certain things will come up. We're going to have to know what the scripture says about it. We're going to have to understand. We're going to have to learn how to discern. And all of the time, the literal scripture may not be before us, right? But if we spent the time putting it before our eye gate, if we spent the time quality studying so that we can perceive what the scripture is saying, there's a lot of word that goes forth in our ministry, and we can't take it lightly. We have to take hold of it. We have to seize it. We have to do it diligently, and as we do that, it builds that word more and more in our heart. It's more and more of the weaponry we can use, and I'm still jumping ahead of myself. It's more and more of the weaponry that we can use in this battle between righteousness and unrighteousness, right? But there's an effort that's necessary on our part in order to position ourselves to be strengthened in the kingdom. Again, for they are life unto those that find them, right? There's a day that's going to come where the word is going to be precious, and it's going to be life-giving to those that have it, and health to all their flesh. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. So it gives you an indication that this is a serious thing. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to deal with in a light sense, right? It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, meaning whatever you have in you for this battle, for this struggle, for this thing that has to happen. This right here is all diligence, meaning it's more important than the diligence of your job. Is the diligence of your job necessary for you to live? Sure. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying neglect your job. What I'm saying is this piece right here is even that more important. Is it important to have money to live and to have a house? Yeah, that's important. But if you didn't have the money and you didn't have the house, this understanding, keeping this word, keeping our heart with all diligence is more important than that. It's more important to be homeless and to keep thy heart than to keep your home and to not keep your heart. Let me say that again. It's more important to keep your heart than to keep your home. It doesn't do you any good to keep your home if you ain't keeping your heart. This is how serious this is. So it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, meaning this is something that we ought to take serious. The enemy wants us to think light. Oh, it's just entertainment. Oh, it's just this. Oh, it's no big deal. Oh, you know, everybody doing it. Oh, yeah. But it's that lackadaisicalness that will allow people to be sifted as wheat, because this is a very serious battle. It's a very serious circumstance, right? And if we don't take it serious, it's very easy to be sifted. And you think, oh, I think I'm doing everything right. I think I'm on the righteous path. But if I'm not continually keeping the word before me, it's very easy to get off. The scripture says there is a path that seemeth right to a man, and the end thereof is destruction, right? So if we don't keep the word before us, if we don't keep it with all diligence, if we don't keep that in our heart, then we can potentially be in danger of thinking we're on the right path and ultimately figuring out that we're not. Because even when the scripture says, in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, you know, I cast out devils in your name. I did this in your name. And he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you, right? Those things that they were doing, they thought were good. But if they're not keeping that word before their eyes, it's very easily, especially in these days with a lot of teachers that have risen, false teachers that have risen, having itching ears. We talked about that before. Those teachers don't necessarily have to be preachers. They can be secular teachers. They can be anything teaching you about subject matter that at the end of the day, it does not matter and it will not matter. But keeping the word of the Lord before our eyes and keeping our heart with all diligence. Why? Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to keep our heart with all diligence? For out of it are the issues of life, right? So if we don't hearken unto the word of the Lord, if we don't keep his counsel, if we don't keep his words before us, if we don't do these things, those areas where we let it go slack, those areas where we think, oh, it's not a big deal, oh, those areas where we think, oh, it'll be all right, those are the areas where the issues of life flow from. So again, if we don't keep our heart with all diligence, out of the heart are the issues of life. Now,
I want you to define keep and heart.
Okay.
In verse 23. Give us the definition.
All right. Give me 1 second. How did that? I don't even know how I closed it out. All right. Let's see. All right, it says keep. Keep is to guard in a good sense, protect, maintain, obey. Observe, preserve. So in order to keep the word, let's see. It says keep thy heart, right? So in that sense, we have to guard our heart. We have to maintain. We have to obey the word of the Lord, right? Doing those things are what will keep our heart. It says hidden thing, right? So a hidden thing, right? If you're keeping your heart, that means you don't expose it to any and everything. If you want to protect something, do I protect something by putting it on display? Usually not. Like if I want something protective, it's usually hidden away where it's not easily accessed. It doesn't, any and everybody doesn't have access to it, because the more a person has access to it, the more they have occasion to cause damage, to cause issue, to potentially steal, right? You can't steal what you don't know is there. You can't affect what you don't see. And so when it says to keep thy heart, that means, again, to guard it. Don't let anybody have access. Don't let any and everybody can't just speak to you. And I'm not saying, you know, be standoffish, but I'm saying be guarded. Be like, okay, if I spend enough time in the word and I understand, okay, what this person is saying, this ain't kingdom. I can't entertain this. I can't let this get into my spirit. I can't let this affect how I see and what I do. I got to stay in the word and understand this right here. This ain't it. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What was the other word that you said, Pastor? Keep, and what was the other word?
Heart.
Okay. It says heart also used very widely for the feelings, and the will, and even the intellect, you know, what you're thinking. Likewise, the center of anything, right? So consent. In the midst, where it's understanding. So guard your understanding, right? As you come across these words and you come across Yah's teachings and you come across his chastening and his leading, says guard those understandings, meaning you can't let anybody coming up end you. I'll use an example because it's what I just saw. Going back to the very beginning, when God gave the instruction to Adam, and Adam gave the instruction to Eve, They were supposed to guard that understanding. But what happened? The serpent came in, and he came in immediately for the understanding. Okay, trying to see how well you going to guard what it is that, that Yah said. Okay, he, you know, did the Lord say this? Or even, even for example, I saw another flash when Christ was fasting for 40 days and he came out of the fasting. And Satan appeared to tempt him, right? So all of these things are the enemy trying to see, were you diligent enough to keep this word before your eyes, to keep the understanding? Or can I come in and introduce to you some alternate understanding and get you to accept that? The Lord said this, but you won't surely die. That's an alternative understanding. If you hungry, why don't you just turn these rocks into bread? Okay. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. See, that's a telling statement, right? So even in the midst of all that we're dealing with, Christ himself is saying, okay, yeah. In a nutshell, it's important to eat, but it's not as important to eat as it is to receive every word out of the mouth of the Lord. That is more vital than me eating this bread right now because of what you're saying to me. Oh, okay. Well, it is written. You know, if you fall off, the angels will bear you up. Okay. It is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay, so all of those things are the challenge, and this battle that we're in is always to challenge what we know and understand. Because when the scripture says, for my people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge, it is a lack of spending time in the word, it is a lack of getting the understanding, and if we don't do this piece, if we don't spend the time in the word, if we're not diligent, if we don't keep it before our eyes, if we don't keep our heart, then the enemy will come in to see what it is that we really know, what it is that we really understand. Can we be persuaded? Can I entice you with money to come up off of what you understand in these principles? Can I entice you with power to get you to come off of the sayings of the Lord? Can I come at you with anything to get you to come off of what God has for you? And if I can, then as Satan, if I can do that, then I have accomplished what I wanted. I got you off of the path that God had for you. I got you off of the path that shines brighter and brighter and brought you into darkness. And in darkness, you can be controlled and you can be prevented from doing what it is that God has for you. I think, so I have quite a bit more to go over, and I guess I don't need to get it all done right now. I'm looking at the time. And so here's what I do. So, because this next part is going to veer into the next level of what I want to deal with. So here's what I do. I'll just stop it right here. And we can come back with the rest of it on Saturday. All right. Are there any questions or comments? Nothing. If not, then I'll just close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the understanding that you've given us on tonight. We just thank you for the reading of your word. We just thank you that you have given us an opportunity to incline our ear unto your sayings, right? To spend time with you diligently. We just thank you, Yah, that you've given us the opportunity to seek you while you may be found. And we just ask that as we seek you, God, as we put your word before our eyes, and as we incorporate your word into our hearts, we just ask that you seal it, God, and that you use it as an opportunity for your grace and for your purpose and your plan. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, that's all I have. Y'all remember, worship YAH in spirit and in truth. You are dismissed.